Hello, friends. Before we actually introduce the podcast and go through all that introduction today, I want you to know that we have taken this from one of our exclusive content videos that you can find just for those people who partner with me at troybrewer.com. We actually have a whole nother network that's called troybrewer.tv. And again, it's free to everybody who partners with me on a monthly basis. And guys, I have so many of these kinds of incredible interviews and talks in the form of video. Point, click, be transformed, and save somebody out of sexual trafficking by partnering with me at troybrewer.com. Okay, guys, let's go ahead and we'll get right off into this podcast. Here we go. Listen to Peace on You. Troy Brewer here. Welcome to exclusive content at troybrewer.tv, which means you are a partner, which means you are part of my tribe, which means that you're making a tremendous difference all over the planet Earth. And I want to bring some really cool stuff to take really good care of you. And today I'm here on the stage with Brother Mark Crawford, all the way from Tanzania.
Yeah.
Well, I was just talking to my brother from Kigali, Rwanda, right on, from Tasmania, Australia.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
Welcome, my friend. How are you, man?
Good.
I'm so
good.
Glad that you're with me this week, man.
It's been great.
So, man, I want to, I just want to say that while you've been with us, just we've had a wildly prophetic week just because, you know, we've been with Jamie Galloway this week and we've been doing a prophetic conference. And one of the things that has come up is that this is the first time that you've been here at Open Door Church, I think since 2008.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That long.
And so last time you were here, we were a little bitty tiny. What was your experience the last time of Open Door Church when you were here in 2008?
It was my first time here in Texas.
Oh.
It was a lot of people in a small area. It was overwhelming in many respects of what you were doing. But you know, it was quite an experience. A lot different than now.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of chaos and, you know, there was quite experience. Going to your office for me coming from Australia was like, hey, you know, there's knives and guns everywhere and all that sort of stuff. You know, it was different, and it was out of my comfort zone almost. But it was good. It was good. But you know, it was just so different.
So we were, how many people do you think was in our Sunday service when you guys were with me?
I would have thought just a couple hundred people.
Yeah. If that.
Yeah.
So, and we were in a little bitty tiny building.
Yeah.
The whole entire church building was 4,000 square feet, and that included our children's church, everything. It was only a 4,000 square foot building. And then you came here this time, and we have a 60,000 square foot building.
Yeah.
And God's given us a whole campus. And I mean, and then you were part of our services, and just things have really changed, haven't they?
Oh, yeah. It is just so different. Like I said before, it was so chaotic. And here it feels so settled. It feels so at peace. It feels so empowering. Or certainly much more empowering than it was previously. There's so much more going on. There was a lot going on there too, but I think there's a lot more people involved who have got individual passion for stuff. So there's a lot more passion from people than we saw the other time too. And a lot of that's because you've developed, you know, people develop so many more things that you're doing. A lot of difference in all of those years.
Yes.
What are we talking about? 11 years.
Yeah. So, guys, what I'm about to tell you is that there have been two times that I've actually that Mark and I. Now we've seen each other like in California. Yep. And we've seen each other in other places, but here there's only been two times that I've come across Mark, and both times in 2008 and in 2011. God sent Mark here to change a course, okay? And to give me specific instruction of this is how you go to the next level. Mm-hmm. And both of those times, as soon as you left, everything changed and we went to the next level.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, it is.
That the Lord would use you to do that, yeah. You know? And so since we've been prophetic and since we've been marking those things, I've been like, you know what? I need to, because I'm believing that after you're here this time, that everything changes again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That it just changes again and it goes to a whole new level mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to unpack that a little bit and I'm going to tell my end of the story and then you tell your end of the story of both of those things.
Yeah, okay.
And listen, you need to hear this. You're going to love this. And this is a really big deal. So this is how it works. In 2008, we were in our 13th year of this church and I've said this many times that I was very reluctant to pastor the church. I kept thinking somebody smart was going to show up and we'd turn everything over to them. I just wasn't into doing it. I just wasn't. I was into outreach. I was into missions. I was into those kinds of things. I didn't have any confidence in me as a leader or as, you know, a teacher or any of those things. Mm-hmm. And I had run into Dave Krohn and the church out at Vacaville, California. They say Vacaville, so out at Vacaville, California, the mission. And they had this dream team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you about a dream team from people from all over, not just the United States, but people from other continents, you as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Graham Cook and other guys are just a part of this team from other places. And there, it was a community and a collection of human beings that I was so blown away. I'm still staggered mm-hmm. by it. And I came back from that and I invited you guys to come out. Mm-hmm. And I honestly didn't think that you would come. I mean, uh-huh. you guys, you know, big time church leaders and we're a little bitty tiny church and you know, I'm not anybody. And you both said, yeah, you and mm-hmm. Dave Krohn both, mm-hmm. both came out.
Mm-hmm.
And explain to me why you thought you guys were coming out.
Well, we came out to just hang out with you. We came out to be friends and hang out. We didn't come to do ministry.
Yeah.
And there was some of that was there. But we came to see what you were doing, what right. you were up to, and just to hang out with you.
Well, we did an outreach that morning, and we had a men's thing.
Yeah,
and we did food. And we did the food bank, and we mm-hmm. did all that kind of stuff. So after we're done with all that, it was on a Sunday night,
yep.
and Sunday services were over, and we're mm-hmm. sitting there, and I said, so guys, and we had a fire in the backyard.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, okay, man, these guys come all the way, you know, and I'm gonna get some real wisdom, and here we go. And I'm like, Mark, so Dave, what do you guys think about, you know, mm-hmm. your whole open door experience, you know? Mm-hmm. And you tell me things like, well, you have a culture of honor.
Yes.
You know, your heart for the poor is amazing.
Yeah.
All those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And then I asked, so what did you see that you don't like?
You were brave in asking that.
I didn't think that you guys would see anything that you didn't like. If I'd have known you actually going to tell me anything, I don't think I would have asked you. But I was curious. I'm like, so what do you mm-hmm. what do you see that you don't like, mm-hmm. and what do you see, you know, that's probably obvious to you guys, you know, what is it?
Yep.
And I can remember a shift in the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the wind changed. It was actually like there was no wind at all. It got completely
mm-hmm.
still.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave, who became supernaturally out of character.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually got in my face.
Yeah.
On some stuff.
Yep. He really stepped into an apostolic.
Yeah, he well, sure
he
did.
Is that, but he stepped into much more of an apostolic and spoke to you very straight as a father.
Yes.
I remember him saying things like, hey, you know, you need to step up, you need to start doing some of these things.
Right.
And if you don't do it, who's going to do it?
That's right.
There's no one else coming.
Yeah, he said that was the term that I'm telling you, it just resonated in my spirit. There's nobody else coming.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get past that because I had been praying for years that somebody else would come and
yeah.
be the leader of the church.
Yeah.
And I've been praying for years that somebody else would come and be the senior pastor.
Yeah.
And he said, there's nobody else coming.
No.
And I was like, what? And he really got stern with me, which is not like him. He's the most loving and fun guy to hang around.
Yeah.
And I just enjoy being around him. But he's like, no, this is serious.
Yeah.
And I remember he asked me, he said, Troy, how many churches have you built all over the world?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know. And he's like, that's a lie.
Yeah, you're a numbers man.
Yeah, he goes, you're a numbers guy. You know exactly how many. I was like, 31.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, then why won't you build this church?
Yeah.
Why won't you do that? And I remember he told me, I reeked. He said, you reek of false humility.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's because—
and I was like, wow.
I know. Well, we could see so much what was in you. We could see what you needed to step into, and you were reluctant to do it. It's like, you know, with all of what we could see and love, we were trying to get you to step into your calling. We're trying to get you to step more in, and Dave just stepped into face.
No, he did. And then when he got done, he just got up and left.
I know. He left me. Left me with
you. It was like mic drop. And he walks off, and I was like, what the heck just happened? Then I'm like, this guy is going to comfort me and all this. No, then you got up and left. And I'm standing out there by the fire going,
I know.
What just happened?
Well, it was just like all of the oxygen went out of the air almost.
I know. I knew it was a move of God.
Yeah.
I knew it was the Lord. Mm. And you guys both left me alone just to contemplate and to hear God speak. And I don't know how long I sat there, but I sat there for a long time. And I remember even the next day, I was stunned.
Yeah, you were.
I was stunned. I wasn't stunned that he got in my face. I was stunned that there was a word from God telling me, you are that guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a game changer for me. I'm like, I don't know how to be that guy. I don't have the skill sets of that guy. At that time, I weighed over 400 pounds.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I was a 400-pound guy.
Yeah, you're a big guy.
Yeah, I was worldwide before the internet.
Yeah.
And I had more chins than a Chinese phone book. I sat around the table all by myself, and I was that guy. And then plus, I also, you know, I was only around the poorest and most messed up people on purpose because I felt like that was the only place that I belonged.
Yeah.
And our church was chaotic. Yeah. It was a mess. There was huge stuff. And I want to tell you, after you guys left that, I felt like I had a mission. I felt like I had a word from God. I felt like I had a mandate that I need to become that guy, and I need to make that church happen the way that God's dream is.
Yeah.
So everything changed.
Yeah.
And actually, the next year, I sold the property and moved into downtown Joshua and bought the First Baptist Church building, and we blew up to 800 people in 2010. Actually, 2 years. We went from maybe, I think when you guys were there, I think maybe 120, 140 people was there, like that. And then just 2 years later, we had 800 people in our church. I mean, I got serious.
Yeah.
Hello, my podcast listening friend, you progressive learner, you disciple of Jesus, you intuitive and ingenuitive person, you. Hey, man, this is Troy. I'm going to break in for just a second and remind you that we got so many amazing things coming up, and I want you to know about those things. I do have the trip to Israel that's coming up in the month of March, and it's not just any trip. It is the God TV Arise Zion. Me and a whole bunch of other people are going to be hosting that. You got to find out about it. Go to troybrewer.com. We still have the 2020 Prophetic Conference. It's called the New Beginnings Conference, where every single person that shows up at the Fort Worth Convention Center is going to get a prophetic word for the year to come from me, from Jamie Galloway, from Patricia King, from Robert Henderson, from Rabbi Jason Sobel, and it's going to be amazing. Amanda Cook is also leading us in praise and worship with Brother Paul Wilbur, my good buddy, and then, of course, Pastor AJ and Open Door Worship. Oh, my goodness. Guys, we have so many things coming up. It's hard to always tell everybody about all the things. So do you want, just simply go to troybrewer.com. All right, let's go back to the podcast.
I got serious. I'm like, I'm going to become that guy, and I'm going to do that. And we moved. We physically moved.
Yeah.
And physically changed.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, today, church, Open Door Church is a church of, I don't know, there's probably 5,000 or so people in the mix, you know? And we typically have around 2,000 people now on Sundays. But what we're doing is so huge. Mm-hmm. It's just so huge. And none of that would have happened if you guys
hadn't have come and confronted me with an apostolic confrontation and spoken that word and went, you're that guy.
But none of that would have happened either if you hadn't received that word. Because when you receive the word, you know, the scripture says you receive a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward because you receive the prophets that were coming in. You receive the word of what, there came a power, there came a grace, there became an anointing for you to accomplish that because you received it.
Okay, so fast forward
2011.
We had bought this building in Joshua, and again, it was kind of like, okay, I moved and I did what I was supposed to, but I took Lot with me.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And the Lot that I took with me was, okay, I'll lead in certain aspects, but all the finances and all that kind of stuff, I'm going to put together a group of people and I'm going to turn it all over to them.
Yep.
And that was very much my lot, my family lot, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, I have to do that. So I did that. And I was not obedient to the Lord in doing that. It seemed like a good idea. I was surrounded by people telling me, you know, you don't have any sense. You're not smart. You can't do this. You can't do that. You need us to help you do that. And so I'm like, yeah, you're right. I need you to help me do that. And we moved into downtown Joshua, bought this beautiful building. It had formerly been the First Baptist Church for 130, 140 years. And which is actually history to us. I know that's crazy for people, you know, that's part of the monarchy. Like, really, you call that Texas history? That's like an oxymoron. But no, that's huge history for us. And to make a very long story short, I turned all the finances of the church over to them in November of 2010. In January of 2011, I got with the board. And they said, you're no longer doing missions. Mm-hmm. You're no longer, we're going to shut down the food bank. Mm-hmm. We're no longer going to pay those bills or do that anymore. They removed signature authority of Leanna and I off of everything. And just said, you're crazy. You spend all of our money, all the church money, you spend it on people who do not go to church here, and you're a crazy person. I thought I could win them over at first. But I never imagined that as a board that they would bring authority over me and change my ministry and say, you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that. I never imagined that. I just thought that they would help me come up with the finances to do the ministry that we had already been doing for 16 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that they suspected we were crazy, and then when they saw the finances, they confirmed these people are crazy.
Yeah.
When they saw that Leanna and I had mortgaged our house 7 times to pay for our orphanages and to pay for certain things. When they saw that, they didn't congratulate that. They said, if people find this out, they're never gonna respect you. You have no sense whatsoever. And it was bad. Well, it was so bad that they actually, not only did they remove Leanna and I from signature authority, they took away our keys. They tore down our office doors. They stole our computers, moved it all over to this Jezebel's house, right?
Wow.
Moved it all over there. And then they're like, you're not allowed on the property except for right before church when you preach, and then you need to leave. Wow. And you need to submit to that. Well, I actually did submit to it for months, and then I was like, this is crazy. I'm not going to do this anymore. As a matter of fact, you're fired, and I'm going to say that I am the boss. And we went through this whole deal, and I was just whooped. I was scared of them and intimidated by them. And it got to the point of death threats. It got so bad. That group got so demonic that it actually got to the point of death threats. And then after I fought that for, I think I probably fought that for maybe 4 months. I literally started to have a nervous breakdown. I got to where I couldn't think, I couldn't function, I couldn't do anything. I was so overwhelmed. And on the day that it was the worst, my daughter had graduated from nursing school, and I was in North Dallas, and I was driving back, and I got a phone call from this individual. There was two people on the phone, and it was just like a demonic hand came out and grabbed me by the throat on this phone, and I just cried and cried and cried, and it was just so bad. And there was actually a death threat that was in that. When I hung up the phone, and I had to preface this, my wife the night before had a dream, and in the dream, you and Dave
came with a word that changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so I hang up the phone, and my wife, the whole time these people were yelling at me, she was saying, just hang up, just hang up, just hang up. And I was just listening to it, and it was just, we're going to destroy you, we're going to mm-hmm. do this, we're going to mm-hmm. do that. And I believed it. I was like, yeah, there's nothing I can do to stop that. And then I hang up the phone, and then it comes up, and it says Mark Crawford.
Yep.
And Leanna's like, the dream, the dream, look, it's Mark Crawford. Now, you live all the way in Australia.
That's right.
And, you know, I you had no reason to call me except for...
Except for we were in Dallas. Now, what had happened was my wife and I were flying to Columbus, Ohio. We left Sacramento, and we're in on American Airlines. We're flying, and the captain comes on and says, there's big storms all around Dallas. We're going to have to take a different route and all that sort of stuff. And a little bit later came on and says, we're low on fuel, so we're going to have to land. We landed in Abilene. And first time ever that I ever saw Domino's pizzas, you know, being brought onto the plane. And so we're sitting there for 4 hours or something. And then we took off and landed in Dallas. The storm had finished. And there's no flights to Columbus. And so we're talking about where we're going to stay and all that sort of stuff. And they said, well, you know, we don't provide for weather. We don't provide hotel rooms. And so, but we can give you a distressed passenger rate. Now, I didn't understand what that is until I got to the hotel.
Then you knew. I am now a distressed passenger.
Yeah, they wouldn't give us the luggage. And so we're at this. So I'm at the place, and I'm calling you. And I'm thinking, the only person I know in Texas is you, so I'm calling you. No answer, and I just keep, you know, calling you, and still no answer.
You were literally calling while these people were threatening violence and all this horrible stuff and the destruction of my life, the destruction of my ministry, all this stuff. You were it was trying to break in Mark Crawford.
Yeah.
There was an opposing word that was coming while that one was coming.
Yeah. And so so we go to the hotel. It was a hotel from hell. It was terrible. And so I said to my wife, Sheraton Hotel was just across the road. So we went there for dinner. And, so we're sitting there at dinner, and I tried calling you again. And so in the dinner, I think you text me or something, but you replied. And I managed to call you. And then when I called you, you were...
Yeah. I was literally... one exit away from where you were at.
Uh-huh.
I could actually, when you said, I'm at the Sheraton, I could see the sign. Now, I don't live in North Dallas. You don't live in North Dallas.
No.
That's not where we were, but you actually, this is what you, while we were talking on the phone, you were telling me how bad things were going, yada, 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 and it was so bad. Hey man, our plane broke down. We were stuck in Abilene on the tarmac. We finally made it to DFW. We missed our flight to Columbus. They put us in the no-tail motel.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you said, so Troy, what could be possibly so bad in your life that God would crash my plane, put me here that I need to talk to you?
Yeah.
And I said, brother, I'm fixing to tell you what's going on in my life.
Yeah.
And he said, well, come and see me. And I said, where are you? And you said, I'm at the Sheraton north of DFW. And I said, I'll be there in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And I literally at that second exited and I said, I'm in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And I was there. God brought us together
absolutely.
At that moment.
Yeah. And when I looked at you, I actually hardly recognized you. I mean, it was just like, hey, the lights are on, no one's home. You were just stressed to the max. You hardly were talking. It was like, my goodness, what's going on? Like, you were just beat up.
Well, I honestly never even heard when you told me that you were going through all this difficulty. All I knew is that we had a dream that you had a word for us that was going to change everything.
Yeah.
And then you called us and we happened to be, both of us, in different cities than where we live, within a mile of each other at the time that you called.
Well, that changed everything for me, because up until the point where I connected with you and heard that you were close by, I was really not happy with a whole bunch of sorts of stuff, you know, inconvenience, all of those sorts of things. And then I realized this is a divine setup. This is a divine appointment. And it just, like, I threw everything out and said, okay, let's go after this because we're meant to be here. But prior to that, it was just a great inconvenience, which is often what happens with divine encounters.
Yeah,
they come at the least appropriate time.
That's right. Well, so I just cried. I blubbered.
Yeah. Yeah.
I freaked out.
Yeah.
I think it's so bad, you know. And here, you know, you're a guy, big time respect, you know. And I just like, I had no pride whatsoever. I'm just like, I'm done. I'm toast.
Yeah.
And then you said no, and you gave me four directives. Yeah. And by the way, you have a lot of experience with this sort of thing because you were literally the president of some kind of a denomination or something. I know it's better than that, but
I was a national leader of a movement of churches throughout Australia and internationally at that time.
Okay, yeah. So you were you know the leader of that.
Yeah.
You dealt with tons and tons and tons of churches. Yeah. You'd seen this sort of thing.
Yeah.
Plus, you also were a prosecuting attorney. Yeah. We would say here. So you were a prosecutor.
Yeah.
And so I mean, you're all about the law and applying the law. You have rights in this, and this is what needs to happen.
Yeah.
And you told me when I remember you told me four things to do. You need to go do this. One of them was changing the bylaws. You need to do this. You need to do this. And then you said, you need to confront the Jezebel spirit as well. Do not let the Jezebel spirit that is behind this thing run rampant.
Yeah.
And you need, if you can't do it, you need to put together an elder team or a group of guys. And dude, we did exactly what you told us to do. And in one day, they all left.
Yeah.
They all left in one day.
Yeah.
And they tried really hard to cause problems after that. I mean, for about a year and a half, they tried a bunch of shenanigans, but it obviously didn't work.
Yeah.
And if I had not, so there's been two times, brother, that the Lord has sent you here, and both times you came with a word from God that says you need to, you're changing from this and you're going to do that.
Yeah.
And then it changed absolutely everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to say thank you for that.
Well, thank you. Thank you for receiving it.
Amen. Amen. I want to just say thank you for that. I want to say how grateful I am and just say the importance of having an apostolic ministries in your life. So important, man. So important.
Yeah.
The importance of having apostolic ministries in
your
life. Well, guys, will you just pray? Will you please pray for anybody that's watching that is in a place where they don't know what they're going to do?
Yeah.
They don't know how they're going to do it, and they need a word from God that's just going to change things. Will you pray that over all of my partners that are watching?
For sure. All right. Hey, Father, we just thank you that you so love to bring insight. You so love to bring guidance. You so love to bring revelation, and wisdom. Wisdom being the correct application of knowledge. We can know some things, but then how do we apply that? So, Father, I thank you that even right now as we're praying, even right this very moment, Father, you are bringing to people solutions. You are bringing to people courage. You are bringing to people revelation and understanding of things. Things that they have waited for. Things that they have not seen in any way, shape, or form the solution. But Lord, the perspective changes. Father God, the very, very life that's around about them, the atmosphere changes, and there comes answers, there come dreams, there comes wisdom, Father, in all the variety of ways that you speak. And so we declare and actually prophesy to you right now the solutions. We prophesy to you answers. We prophesy to you now courage and boldness to be able to take those things and to be able to step them out. Not actually to think, well, is that just my thinking? No, receive those things as unto the Lord. Receive those things right now. And there's a breakthrough coming for some of you. There's a breakthrough coming where you have toiled and waited and waited and tried and tried and it's not coming. But I want to declare right for you now a season of change, a very seasonal shift that actually takes place for you, that you move from the time of a sort of a winter season into a spring season, into a season that is full of life and full of new things for you, and particularly as we head further into the beginning of 2020. And as we start to step into that, things that are out of alignment come into alignment right now in the name of Jesus. Answers, wisdom, insight, revelation, yours in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So such as I have, I give unto you in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
The breakthroughs that we've had, you know what? We give that to you in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Well, Mark Crawford, I'm so grateful for you being here today. Thank you, my friend.
So pleased to be here.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I hope that you'll come back soon.
Oh.
And I'm going to be with you in California next week.
You will.
Yes, that'll be good, man.
We'll
be with Dave Crone.
Yeah, we will.
And a bunch of other troublemakers. You
know? Yeah, absolutely.
A whole bunch of troublemakers from all over the world.
Yeah.
Well, friends, God bless you so much. This is exclusive content. The reason you're being able to watch this is because you partner with me. And it's such a big deal. I don't know what else to say except for thank you, thank you, thank you. Love you guys so much. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.